'Cause like a winter tonight, I thought I would always have light. The quick flash that you gave to me, so dark I could barely see. Looking
wherever you are around the world, welcome and thank you for joining us. Today we're going to be exploring a very hot topic, racism and faith. With us today is Reverend Kyle Huckins. He is a professor of journalism at Azusa Pacific University, and he's also got a PhD in journalism, and he's an author of a wonderful book called Getting From Here to Eternity, A Spirit-Filled View of the News. Reverend Kyle D. Huckins, thank you very much for being on The Circle, Reverend.
Thank you very much for having me, Carl. It's good
this
to be
is
here.
A very hot topic.
Oh, yeah. So.
It's one of the hotter ones we've ever touched. Mm. So I guess the first question off the bat is, why is there so much racism going on around here in the U.S.? What do you think?
Well, I think there are several causes. Ultimately, everything that's sin, and I would put racism in that category, is sin. Hating people who you're supposed to love. That it's ultimately evil and it's working us. But also, I think it's differences of class and background socioeconomically. The inequities, for example, blacks make 20% less than whites on average in the United States. Hispanics also make less.
Let me actually, one thing for credibility purposes too, I mean, people probably won't realize this. Your church is predominantly
black. The Church of God in Christ is one of the largest African-American denominations in the nation. And in fact, is even larger than the Assemblies of God.
Wow. How many members do you know?
7 million members worldwide, 6 million in the U.S. Yes.
Wow. Not all in your church, though.
Not all mine. No.
Wow, that's a lot. Okay, 7 million. I'm sorry, go right ahead. And you were saying?
So I think it, class, social, economic, also that we have had a history of inequity in this country, that we have subjugated various peoples, whether it be, of course, black in slavery for the first couple hundred years that whites were on this territory, forcibly brought most of them to this country, at various times even Hispanic, others. And so this, I believe, had a sense of depressing the whole culture. You know, when you're in subjugation like that for so many years and maltreated, and then the fact that when you just say, like we did 50 years ago, well, the Voting Rights Act and all these other acts, well, everybody's equal now. Well, obviously, people are still the same as they were before the act. They still look at people the same way. There's still kinds of tensions in the South and all these kind of things. Sometimes we even see this today, that we need to realize that there needs to be a system to bring equity back, and it hasn't fully been formed yet. It hasn't fully come to pass. So there are still these inequities, and people have these kinds of difficulties, I think, in it as far as suspicions of others and all the rest. And I think that people have a tendency to fall back on their own, especially in times of pressure. They say the familiar, the comfortable, all these kinds of things, you know, come out of it. As far as the problems that we'll have with other groups. But we are such a multiracial nation, multicultural nation. We need to get along, like Rodney King in our very city said, you know, can't we all just get along? Well, that's really what God would say is, hey, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native, let's get together and get it done. You know, and let's get rid of these suspicions of others. Let's get to know each other. Let's go to each other's churches. Let's go to each other's work. Let's have lunch together. Let's get this done so that we can all truly be equal, you know, before the law and before each other.
Do you think it'll take generations to change that mentality? I know interracial marriages seem to be growing and growing. Mm-hmm. The widespread capabilities of the internet has taught a lot of people about different cultures. They can interact with people from all over the world. Do you think it'll just take a few more generations for people to start lessening their racism?
Unfortunately, I don't think so. I think that's what we have seen over the last couple of three generations. We did see a progress from the initial voting rights generation, my folks, to mine. There's a progress to the next generation. But it's foretold in Scripture in Matthew 24:7, it says, ethnos, that is nation, ethnos, ethnicity, same root, will rise against ethnos at the end of time, ethnicity. And I believe that is what we're seeing. You know, you think about how many racial things, like, for example, the Hutu and the Tutsis in Africa or different tribes, South America. We unfortunately have, you know, white and black in the United States. They're rising against each other after a period of peace. And there actually have been statistically sound surveys, like by Gallup and others, that show that racism is on the incline during President Obama's administration. We elect the first black president in our nation, and we have more racism than when he came in, about 10%. It also affects Hispanic people as well. So we and the United Kingdom as well.
Well, we'll explore that in a second. I wanted to see why that is. What's your opinion of why having the first black president actually did us worse in the Racism Act situation? Can't even talk right now. Do you think it's in our nature to be this way? To fight ethnicity against ethnicity? Or?
I think it's in our fallen nature, yes. Because you think about it, to pit people against each other. The Bible refers to, in Revelation, devil as the accuser of the brethren. Oh, yeah, he's talking about you evil. He's saying bad things about you. He doesn't want you to succeed. Or she's really thinking she's better than you. And so, you know, these kind of things, they get brought up in our mind to separate us so that we can't come together and be working positively, that we'll always have problems. Because Satan never loves his people. All he does is love himself. You know, and in a sense, racism is loving ourselves. If I think only white people are good enough to be able to do this or that, or are better than this class or race of people, then I'm buying into Satan's lie that I'm better than anybody else.
Hi, welcome to Adelante. This is Adelante Recovery, and my name is Yvette Kuglin, and I'm part of the staff.
Adelante Recovery Center has helped people in dual diagnosis for 5 years. We accept most PPO insurances and provide luxury accommodations and 24-hour support. To speak with an admissions counselor, call 1-888-242-4450.
A lot of time, we don't even know what's wrong with us, and sometimes we need to get away to figure that out. So if you want to go for a little retreat out in Corona Del Mar, which is a confidential location, we're here to help. So we're only a phone call away. Thank you.
You've done some amazing things. And I think people really want to hear your story of your involvement in race relations. And how did you become accepted in an African-American church?
It's interesting. I've always had a leading toward minority people. I grew up to a pretty predominantly middle-class white high school in Chicago's Northwest Side, and we had a few Hispanics, we had a few blacks, you know, fine, you know, that kind of thing. But I always had an interest in people from different backgrounds and places. I would like to talk to them about, you know, what is the Hispanic world like? What is the black world like? This kind of thing. Even Indian, East Indian, for example, I remember that. And when I went to college down in Texas, we had a couple of tables where almost all the international students would have lunch together, and I would sit with them almost every day. And I would meet kids from Greece and Turkey, from Algeria, from Mexico, from Canada, all over the world. We'd have wonderful discussions, and it was so interesting, having lived all my life in the United States, pretty much in the same place. It's like, oh, these people perceive this differently. Some things are absolutely right on that I hadn't thought of before. Some things they've got, you know, wrong. But then I have probably more stuff wrong about their home country, you know, because they study us more than we study them. And so that really helped to unlock that door even more. And then as I went through life, I've had this idea that really we all are equal. I'm not better or less than anyone. I can't take credit for that. It's God who put that in my mind. But I had a leading. I was feeling a little dry in the church. I was in a decent church, but kind of dry. And I began to watch on TBN, not that I endorse everything on there, but I began to watch Bishop G.E. Patterson. Bishop Patterson was a wonderful, mature, presiding bishop of the Church of God in Christ, the black denomination. And about that time, shortly after that, I began to listen to black gospel music. It's such wonderful, rhythmic, as well as also scriptural, inspirational, wonderful things. Aretha Franklin does a lot of gospel, for example. You can move to her whether you're a Christian or not, but Christian, of course, being better if you can. And so I walked into that church one Sunday morning thinking, well, if it doesn't work out, that's fine. We'll at least see how each other work and all that. But it worked, and I never walked out. I've never missed a service in the Church of God in Christ then, except to be a guest preacher in other denominations. And I've preached across the nation in our denomination and been received well everywhere. people generally say, or they have the feeling, at least, they usually don't say it out loud, this, you know, they have this appreciation of a white person coming to a black church, because a lot of places no one ever has. Or maybe just one or two. Maybe somebody marries a black person and they have a, you know, significant relationship to the Church of God in Christ, and they start going there. It's usually how it happens. But I just really have felt spiritually at home. I believe what they believe, you know, theologically. I appreciate the African-American struggle and want to be able to help, you know, whatever way spiritually and others I can in it. And so we really have a true unity.
That's phenomenal. So last two questions we're going to hit here are contemporary questions. Mm. First one we're going to talk about is the Obama effect. Mm. If you can dedicate a minute or two for Obama, and then we're going to also go to the Ferguson incident. What can we learn from that? I mean, there are several incidents now, unfortunately, after
yes,
the Ferguson incident.
True.
But first thing first, why do you think the first black president in the history of America did not help the cause of racism, actually made it worse?
I don't know that it's anything that he has done, but it is events that have come around this time, whether it's Mike Brown and Ferguson or it's Trayvon Martin and the rest, that have exacerbated it. And I think the only thing we can really say with him, particularly personally, is because he is black, people were forced to confront the idea of, well, where do you think African Americans sit in society? Can they be president and be effective? Can they organize? There are still people who doubt this. I've engaged them in social media, and most people tend to say no, that I've interacted with, unfortunately. This is very disturbing at this day and age, isn't it?
But very much so.
I think it's just brought it to the surface, things that are in the past, plus this idea of moving toward the end. And we've had times of economic pressure. We've had times of political pressure, others. And in those times of pressure, folding back on our own, we tend to be more suspicious of the other, you know, the black, the Hispanic, the Asian, or, you know, whomever, you know, is out there.
So just unfortunate timing.
Yes, I think a lot of it is, yes.
So Ferguson, what can we take from that incident?
I think whether that Mike Brown was at fault or Officer Darren Wilson was at fault, we don't know because we don't have a tape. All that and the accounts are all over. There is a significant problem between the black community and police forces, which are generally white across the nation, almost without exception, that there is at least a perception, and it's not just the rioters, but it's people in church that are deacons and pastors and others who are very responsible business people who believe that there is a mistrust of blacks by the white officers and that they will be mistreated. That's a real problem. And there have also been, of course, Hispanic people, you know, rounded up by immigration who are born in the United States, don't even necessarily have an accent or anything like that. And so people have these problems. Well, we've got to meet with each other and talk it out. We can't just say, oh, there's no problem, or, oh, it's just those people. Well, we've had, like you say, several incidents of this. You know, the circumstances in each one are a little different and all the rest. But the problem is there is now a very deep perception that there is a gap between the people who are responsible for enforcing laws and the ones on whom they are enforced. And my proposal is, let's get black leaders from across the nation together. Let's get police officer leaders, law enforcement leaders across the nation together. Define in federal law the rules of engagement, pass that bill, and then have that inculcated, put into practice by the National Peace Officer Association so that everybody's on the same page. And just the fact of meeting with that charge should bring them together and begin to clear the air that we have of such suspicion. But it's something, no matter where you stand on this, we've got a problem and we've got to realize it and take care of it now before it's too late.
I completely agree. Once again, Reverend Kyle D. Huckins, here's his book, Getting From Here to Eternity, A Spirit-Filled View of the News. Where do we get a hold of you if you want to learn more about you or more about what you're doing?
Sure. You can get a hold of me through the website, email khuckins, K-H-U-C-K-I-N-S, at gettingfromheretoeternity.com, khuckins at gettingfromheretoeternity.com. And other contact information is also there as well. And so we invite you to come by the website, the daily blog, Twitter feed, latest column, and all the good stuff. Hopefully many free things, as long as being able to order the book.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for being on The Circle, Reverend.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us as well. Remember, our motto is simple. Wherever there's psychology involved, we are there, no matter what race. See you next time, everyone.